neither the U.S. nor international law applied. Since then, Guantanamo has been synonymous with human rights abuses perpetrated by the U.S. government in the name of terrorism. Since its establishment, the notorious prison has been under fire for the so-called enhanced interrogation methods used on inmates to force them to confess to crimes that they might not have even committed. Interrogation methods, which international human rights advocates say amounted to torture, back in 2019, the New York Times published an article containing disturbing methods of torture on a prisoner named Abu Zubaydah. It included methods like waterboarding, walling, and sleep deprivation. At its peak, over 750 inmates have been held in the facility since its establishment. However, based on an Amnesty International report, only 7 have been convicted, including 5 as a result of pretrial agreements under which they pleaded guilty, returned for a possibility of being released from the base. Currently, 40 inmates are incarcerated in Guantanamo without any charges. They are stuck in a legal limbo, languishing there for nearly 2 decades. That is while the proceedings have been delayed at the pretrial state for several years. That justifies why Guantanamo Bay Prison is a symbol of lingering U.S. injustice. Meanwhile, the conditions in the detention camp are deteriorating. According to a New York Times article, following the tropical rains this summer and fall, raw sewage sloshed inside cells and toilets overflowed. Such unsanitary conditions become more alarming when we consider the potential impact on containing the spread of the coronavirus within the prison. Moreover, in late January, the Pentagon halted the plan to offer COVID-19 vaccinations to Guantanamo Bay prisoners. That has raised criticism from health experts and rights groups, as they say prisoners must be high on the priority list to get the vaccine because they are in close contact with the prison staff. With the prisoners stuck in legal limbo, deteriorating infrastructure, and international outcry against torture and injustice, why has the prison been allowed to continue to operate?
Well, it's only because of the power of the United States that it can continue to operate. It's clearly in violation of international law. And people are held without charge in many cases and held indefinitely. And we know that many, many, many hundreds and hundreds of people who were taken to Guantanamo were taken there because they had been turned in by enemies.
The administration of U.S. President Joe Biden has launched a formal review of the offshore U.S. military prison at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. The White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki told reporters on Friday that Biden intends to close the controversial prison before leaving office, saying that it's a priority of the Biden administration. Closing the Guantanamo Bay prison was initially one of the campaign promises of former U.S. President Barack Obama, who had Joe Biden as his vice president by his side. However, despite being one of the first executive orders of Obama, after assuming office in 2009, he failed to realize this goal, once calling it a stain on U.S. record in upholding rules of law. His only achievement was transferring 197 inmates from the facility to either their home or third-party countries through a review board process. However, former President Donald Trump immediately reversed that policy as soon as he took office in 2017 and kept the controversial prison open during his 4 years in office. Trump's decision to resume rendition to Guantanamo Bay drew outrage from human rights groups who have long campaigned for its closure. That is while experts believe the new administration will encounter the same political and legal obstacles in shutting down the offshore prison as Obama did. Also, it seems the revival of this Obama-era policy is currently hampered by the coronavirus pandemic and its economic fallout.
I don't think there's any great reason to believe that Biden will push ahead. Biden's foreign policy objectives are very much against Iran, against China, against Venezuela and Cuba, maybe not using the same tactics as the Trump administration, but with the same objective in mind.
While an insane amount of $13 million a year for each prisoner is needed to keep the wheels of Guantanamo turning, and the negative impact it's having on America's global image, closing it would be a viable prospect. However, can Joe Biden manage to remove what human rights advocates call a stain on America's global image?
When Loujain Al-Hathoul, a prominent women's rights activist, sat in her car and drove into Saudi Arabia in 2014, using her valid UAE driving license, she was arrested and sent to jail, spending 73 days in a women's detention facility, This sparked her campaign to launch an attack against the archaic male-dominated guardianship system run by the Saudi regime. Yet it was in March 2018 when she was essentially forced out of the UAE and flown back to Riyadh and placed under house arrest before being moved to prison that saw her and other women's rights activists clamped down on by the Bin Salman regime. It hence raises the question that if the despotic Saudi Crown Prince Bin Salman is so keen on reforms, why then is he so quick to silence the women of his country, especially in the face of a simple and basic human rights demand, such as being able to drive a car?
In a sense, in his own mind, he's serious, but in terms of world image, he's not serious. His actions are very crude, to imprison someone that was not a physical threat of any kind. It seems to me that Lu Jian is really seen as a an exponent of Western human rights ideas.
Many from around the world have condemned the arrest of Al-Hatoul, with UN Special Rapporteur Agnes Callamard stating that the cruelty of Saudi Arabia rulers that kept her away from her family, her home, that violated her most basic right to physical and mental integrity, should not be forgotten, suggesting that even though she'd been released, the act by the Saudi regime should still be remembered. The global awareness group Human Rights Watch also celebrated the fact that Al-Hatoul had been released, with its director Ken Roth stating that he was happy that she'd been released, yet he reminded all that they must not forget the so-called reforms by Bin Salman and nothing more than a distraction of the real events happening in the kingdom. With Al-Hatoul now back home, what now remains to be seen is whether she will actually remain free or the Saudi regime, led by Bin Salman, continue to suppress Al-Hatoul and many more like her. They say that money can buy anything, and this is truer than ever when it comes to the Saudi regime. One only has to look at the way Bin Salman bought the silence of ex-US President Donald Trump following the murder of Jamal Khashoggi in Turkey. Therefore, are the messages of condemnation against the Saudi human rights simply a fake fanfare ignored by Riyadh at their leisure? With many activists in Saudi Arabia still languishing behind bars, the case of Al-Hatoul is just one of many. And as the Saudi regime continue to pump billions into the military arms complex of Western nations, are the condemnations echoed by the West simply double standards?
Well, of course it does. But Saudi Arabia has been the linchpin, really, of American Middle East policy, foreign policy. And in a sense, that ties in with world policy. If Saudi Arabia goes, there will be dominoes, a domino effect of other regimes, and it will leave Israel much more isolated.
One such example is the British government, who have recently agreed to authorise the sale of £1.9 billion worth of military equipment to the Saudi regime, whilst at the same time preaching to the world that human rights actually matter. Where then did the rights of the people of Yemen go in this statement? Yet for the British, the sale of arms and turning a blind eye to war crimes has come from necessity rather than security. As Brexit takes its toll on the British economy, the sale of arms is nothing more than an act of state begging, something that the Saudi regime are happy to toss a few coins into the outstretched British hand to buy their silence with. As Bin Salman attempts to use his so-called reforms to paint a false impression to the world that he is the saviour of change, the truth of the matter is that the image, the brand and the goodwill shown by Bin Salman and his team is nothing more than a charade designed to fool the theatre audience into the Saudi divine comedy.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد Dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am so glad to be here again at your service with a new episode of The Muslim Lady. With me joining Razia Batul Najafi, my wife.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm more glad than you.
I hope our listeners are also glad and they are also anticipating.
We can shift our feelings and energy to them, inshallah. I'm sure, inshallah.
So we were discussing the beautiful sayings of Fatimatu Zahra, salamullah alayha. And in previous episode, we discussed some beautiful sayings. And in this episode also, we will share another beautiful hadith. And in fact, this hadith is for us, for the followers. We say we are the followers of Fatimatu Zahra and Imam Ali and Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam. And how beautifully she prays to Allah about us, about the forgiveness of our sins, the followers of Fatimatu Zahra, salamullah alayha, which shows the kindness of the Holy Lady.
Absolutely. She's our soul mother. Motherly dua. The prayers are truly motherly. You can feel the smell of mother.
Kind mother prays for her children, yeah?
Absolutely.
In that way, she is praying for us to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I would love to recite the dua the way, definitely. I can feel the beautiful voice of Bibi Fatima Zahra salamullahi alayha. I can feel the way she is putting her hands towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that ilahi wa sayyidi as'aluka billadhi nastafaytahum wa bibuka'i waladi fi mufariqati an taghfira li'usati shi'ati wa shi'ati zurriyati. This is the amazing dua, prayers which she is asking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala until the day of qiyamah, until the day of judgment, whoever comes.
Generations after generations.
Whoever comes, look at the dua, the vastness of dua, if he's asking something which will never end.
She's asking for all the followers, not only followers. The followers of the followers. This is the very, very, amazing thing.
So it teaches us that we should pray for each and every human being. Like the way in Dua Ahad, we say, Ya Allah, just forgive the sins of mu'mineen, the believers. Fi barrihim wa bahrihim wa sahliha wa jabaliha wa hayyihim wa mayyatihim.
Wherever they are. They live in the east
and the west. You're not just thinking about you, your family, your friends. No. You should think very vastly.
And it goes for you. Its benefits go to you. The reward, you are praying for others. And the malaika, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is giving a lot of reward to you. So by praying others, we are getting benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
This is the point. We don't believe on it. We know, but we are so selfish.
Yeah. We do ziyarat for ourselves. We pray for ourselves. If you go to Hajj, we always ask for our children. We ask for our health.
Only for our children.
Look at Fatimatu Zahra salamullah alayha, the famous tradition when Imam Hassan alayhi salam relates that she was praying for only for others, in her night prayers, the whole night prayers in Qunut, she was praying for others. And Imam Hassan alayhi salam asked after finishing the prayers, why did you pray for others?
And the answer was Al-Jar, Summad-Dar. First others, then us.
Then us.
In our practical life, unfortunately, the way we are practicing is that Ad-Dar, me. Dar means
so
house,
dar.
My house. Yeah. Then Summa, Al-Jar. The turn of other comes.
Very, very.
Unfortunately.
Rarely. And
Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made this is the way he has designed, that whoever is thinking about others, that person is winner, that person is getting and receiving more blessings. But we don't understand it. You know, we feel, no, if I'm asking for myself, you know, if I'm a selfish person, I will get more. So even in namaz, we say, Iyaka na'budu. You know, we are praying. Na'budu, nasta'in. You know, it's so amazing. Like, it has so much message, so much to learn.
We can give an example of water. Look at water. You know, it quenches the thirst of others. It quenches the thirst of, you know, fields and trees and jungle. And its benefit returns to the purifying of water itself. Somehow, you know, we should be like this. You know, we always think because of our narrow mind, we should ask for our benefits, for ourselves. We should do dua for ourselves, which is also good. But when you pray for others, when you take care of others, you get more benefits than you pray for yourselves. You know, one thing, you are getting the sawab of praying for others. In return, the others will pray for you. You know, especially the malaika of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when malaika pray for you, then their prayer is always accepted. Allah accepts their prayers. So you get double thawab, an unlimited thawab you get. So that's why Fatimatu Zahra salamullah alayha praying for the followers, the Shia. So there are a lot of things to say. Are we true Shia of Fatimatu Zahra? You know? And who can be a true Shia? And who can be a true follower? So our program does not allow to discuss more details about these. But let me say this thing, that Shia means a true follower who, you know, walks on their footsteps. So unfortunately, nowadays, we say we are Shias, but we are not true Shias. Our practical life shows something else. Only what we can say is we are the Muhibbeen of Fatimatu Zahra. Lovers of Fatimatu Zahra. We love them. You know,
But we are trying to follow. Still, we are trying, So, but it's not easy to reach to the level of Shia.
Definitely,
but we should be hopeful that, inshallah, by crossing the level of Muhib, the lover, we will reach to the level of Shia. Okay, and I love the way Bibi Salamullahi Alaiha, she's giving the wasita. You know, the like Sayyidi, as I look, I'm asking from you. Billadina, you know, the means,
the
wasila
of the chosen ones.
Exactly. For the sake of the
although
chosen.
She also is the biggest, you know, chosen one.
Oh,
nearest
absolutely.
To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And the second part is like the chosen one, definitely her father, her husband, her children.
All her family
exactly.
members, they are the chosen
But
one.
Then, you know, especially she has mentioned, بِبُكَاءِ وَلَدِي فِي مُفَارَقَتِي. You know, after my demise, my martyrdom, my children, when they will cry for each drop of their tears, you know, this for sake of those, you know, weeping and cry and tears. This wasita, this sake is amazing. You know, like it's very motherly. You can feel that fragrance of, you know, motherhood.
The kindness of a mother.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What she's asking? She's asking, antaghfira li'usati shi'ati. Like they are my followers, but sometimes they slip. So inshallah we are Shia, we are trying, inshallah. But sometimes we go here and there, and by the prayers of Lady Fatima, we will come back, you know,
definitely.
On the track again and again. So antaghfira li'usati shi'ati and shi'ati zurriyati, like my children's followers, like the followers of Imam Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, you know, the last, the final Imam, the present Imam. So These are so amazing, the way she is giving.
Sake of the chosen ones, sake of her children, you know. And Fatimatu Zahra, salamullah alayha, one of her titles is Haniya.
Mm-hmm.
Haniya means kind person, you know. So she is showing her kindness in this dua by praying, you know, the followers of her children and the followers of her generation. So this is also amazing hadith of Fatimatu Zahra salamullahi alayha.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
One more dua which I really like of prayers of Lady Fatima Zahra salamullahi alayha is about Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Oh Allah, make me content, so much contentment I need about what? About whatever you have given to me as a rizq, you know? Whatever sustainers rizq you are just sharing with me, make me qana'a. Contentment is a biggest ni'mah and blessing and gift.
The root of, you know, satisfaction in our life is the contentment. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written and has given to us, to be content on those things is the root of, you know, satisfaction. Then you can have a satisfied life. You do not need anything more than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. You know, our all these problems which we face in our life, because of less of contentment in our life, you know, we are greedy, we want to have this facility and those things, and we want more and more and more, which ends up, you know, having a lot of problems in our life. But if a mu'min is content, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him, this, you know, leads us in a very satisfied and peaceful life. You know, the root of peace and satisfaction is the contentment. So nowadays, a lot of people, they try to have a simple life because they have understood that simplicity, it leads us to have a very peaceful and satisfied life. So,
and then, beautiful. You know, she says very nicely, I love the second part of this dua, Allahumma farrighni lima khalaqtani lahu. Oh Allah, make me free for what? For the reason, yeah, for the purpose
you have
of
created,
yeah,
me
life, for. You know, for what you have created me. And most of the time, we are far away from our purpose, wow. You know. Allah
definitely
has created me for something else, and I have engaged myself towards,
yeah,
something
Allah
rubbish.
Allah has created us to get that perfection, you know, the highest level of the marifa. Unfortunately, we go opposite on that way. We are being far away step by step by involving ourselves in these materialistic things, you know, in these worldly things, in this luxury life, you know, in these social and, you know, personal, and all these problems lead us being away from the main purpose of life, which is the perfection, the reaching the highest level, the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So this is our choice, you know, the way we are engaging ourselves to things which are not necessary, not a purpose of our life. So that is our choice, you know. Therefore, Hadith says that Lady Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha, she used to make her free for ibadah,
yeah.
You know, like make sure to have time, no excuse to say that, you know, I'm so busy, you know. So make sure to have this dua in our qunut, Allahumma farrighni lima khalaqtani lah. Oh Allah, make me free for,
yeah,
what?
for the purpose of life, for the purpose you have created me, for the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, nowadays, we totally forget and we are unaware of our purpose of life.
Yeah. And the last dua which I really want to mention today is that Allahumma la tu'ini fi talabi ma lam tuqaddir li wa ma qaddartahu 'alayya faj'alhu muyassiran sahla. Means, oh Allah, don't make me tired of going after something which is not written for me. And whatever is written for me, you know, it is in my destiny. Make those matters and things very reachable, easier, accessible, yeah, easy for me. So nice, you know, the way she is connecting our daily routine to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is absolutely necessary for us to understand.
Definitely. What are beautiful sayings. And thank you, Razia Batul Najafi, for being us.
You're most welcome.
Yeah.
I don't have any words to express that how much I enjoy to be in your presence.
Yes.
And with the gifts of Lady Fatimatu Zahra Salamullahi Alayha.
Sorry, we are running out of time. We have to end here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My Lord, show me right from wrong. Give me light, make me strong. I know the road is long. Make me strong. Sometimes it just gets too much. I feel that I've lost touch. I know the road is long. Make me strong.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue, and I'm your host, Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the early history of the Muslims, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Please stay tuned. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir was the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and he was the fifth divinely appointed imam among the household of the Holy Prophet. He was the son of the fourth divinely appointed imam, Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam. Now all historians and traditionalists of Islam are unanimous that among the descendants of Imam Hassan and Imam Husayn, a maximum of religious sciences were expounded by Imam Muhammad al-Baqir. That is why the title of Al-Baqir was given to the Imam, which denotes one who splits knowledge. Imam Al-Baqir contributed greatly to the science of Quranic exegesis, scholastic theory, religious law, and Islamic jurisprudence, among many other subjects.
قال الإمام الباقر عليه السلام: تذاكر العلم ساعة خير من قيام ليلة.
Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam stated, "Revising knowledge for an hour is better than staying up the whole night in worship."
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us on the program Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. In the beautiful conversations and dialogues which we find in history, there are some that are specific to the life of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. We find that in one of these conversations that he was speaking to his companions. In this dialogue, eventually Imam al-Baqir says to his companions, "If you can deal with anyone and do him a favor, then do that." In this statement which we find in this dialogue between Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam and his companion, we find a very interesting piece of advice which is given forth. And that is that we should deal with people in a favorable manner. Now it's interesting, but here it does not say that the other person has to be Muslim, or that the other person has to be a Christian or a Jew or anybody for that matter. It says here that you should deal with people in general, meaning with all people, in a favorable manner, in a humble manner, in a kind manner. And so here we get this very important piece of advice that we should be able to apply in our lives. Why is it that based upon a certain social status or based upon somebody's wealth or perhaps somebody's position or their job or their overall status, we tend to treat these kind of people favorably and with kindness, and we tend to give them more respect. But if somebody is poor, or they are oppressed, or they are disenfranchised, then what do? We don't give them the due respect. We don't treat them favorably. We might even look down upon them. And so here, in this very concise manner, in this dialogue with his companion, Imam al-Baqir says that if you can deal with anyone and you can do them a favor, you can help them out, then that is what we should be doing. That is what you should do. To do somebody a favor, to help somebody out, to treat them with kindness and humbleness, and to treat them favorably. A beautiful message which we find in this dialogue between a companion and Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
Just to let you know that when you hear these fatwa from our mujtahideen, you know, people ask this question, "Oh, mujtahids are giving fatwa, where does it come from?" Well, the fatwa in most cases basically are based on the ahadith of the imams of the Ahlul Bayt. Or even if it's not exactly from the wordings of the ahadith, it is based on the principles derived from the Quran and the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt. Actually, there is another hadith where the question was that my non-Muslim neighbor borrowed dishes from me. He had a da'wat, you know, guest, didn't have enough utensils. He took things from me. I gave him pak and clean. He used it and then he brought it back. It was in the same state. I didn't see how he used it. The Sharia simply says, you assume it to be pak unless you have knowledge and ilm that it was made najis. You know, in same theme, I get questions sometimes on the phone or the email when people move to a new house. Molana, we have a new house, you know, a Hindu was living there or a Christian was living with. What do we do? Especially the question comes, do we wash the walls? You know, I have to make sure I make his life easy. You know, you don't have to go to an extent where the Sharia has not really asked you to do that. You see, it's a very simple issue. When it comes to washroom, sink, or kitchen sink, or the counters there, or the shower, or the tub, you can, you know, make it park very easily. There's no problem. And, you know, moving into a new house, it's better to do that. Even when it comes to the carpet, if you had not seen it becoming najis, you can assume it to be park. But if you want to be extra, you know, cautious on this issue, do ihtiyat, you can actually put it part of the deal that the carpet should be shampooed before you move in. You know, or you do it yourself. You do it twice and things should be okay. But there's no need to worry about the walls because, you know, even if the people who were living there, we assume they were najis, they are not necessarily, people do not necessarily touch the wall with wetness. And najasat only transfers from one item to the other when there is a flowing wetness in between the two items.
Thank you very much, dear friends, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Losing our planet's protective bubble of gases isn't exactly a popular option, but researchers have teamed up to design the next best thing, a system that guides light through the tempestuous currents of rippling air with the flick of a mirror. The result is a laser link capable of holding its own through the atmosphere with unprecedented stability. We have prepared for you an article written by Mike McRae under the heading Groundbreaking New Laser System Cuts Through Earth's Atmosphere. The article has been taken from the sciencealert.com website. Please stay with us for more of Mike McRae's article. Artists and romantics, the twinkling of stars is visual poetry, a dance of distant light as it twists and bends through a turbulent ocean of air above our heads. Not everybody is so enamored with our atmosphere's distortions. To many scientists and engineers, a great deal of research and ground-to-satellite communication would be a whole lot easier if the air simply wasn't there. Losing our planet's protective bubble of gases isn't exactly a popular option, but researchers have teamed up to design the next best thing, a system that guides light through the tempestuous currents of rippling air with the flick of a mirror. The result is a laser link capable of holding its own through the atmosphere with unprecedented stability. While astronomers have a few tricks up their sleeve to correct for the atmosphere's distortions on incoming light, it's been a challenge to emit a coherent beam of photons from the ground to a distant receiver so they keep together and on point. Keeping transmissions on target and coherent, with their phases remaining neatly in line, through hundreds of kilometers of shifting air would allow us to link highly precise measurement tools and communication systems. Satellites could probe for ores or evaluate water tables with improved precision. High-speed data transfer could require less power and contain more information. Lead author Ben Dix Matthews, an electrical engineer with the International Centre for Radio Astronomy Research in Australia, explained the technology to Science Alert. Ben Dix Matthews says, "The active terminal essentially uses a small 4-pixel camera which measures the sideways movement of the received beam," adding, "This position measurement is then used to actively control a steerable mirror that keeps the received beam centered and removes the sideways movement caused by the atmosphere. In effect, the system can be used to compensate for the warping effects of moving air in three dimensions, not just up and down or left and right, but along the beam's trajectory, keeping the link centered and its phases in order." So far, it's only been tested across a relatively short distance of 265 meters, or about 870 feet. About 715 meters, just under half a mile, of optical fiber cable was run underground between the transmitter and receiver to carry a beam for comparison. The results were so stable, they could be used to connect the kinds of optical atomic clocks used to test fundamental physics, such as Einstein's theories of relativity. With a proof of concept demonstrated, there's no reason to think a similar technique won't one day be aiming for the sky and beyond. Though there are few hurdles that need to be overcome first. Dix Matthews told Science Alert, "During this experiment, we had to do the initial alignment by hand, using a visible guide laser that was in line with the stabilized infrared beam." He added, "When making links between optical atomic clocks, it would be good to have a way of doing this course alignment more easily." Fortunately, Dix Matthews' French collaborators are working on a device that will speed up the initial course alignment process, promising a second generation of laser link technology that won't require such an involved setup. The team also found temperature variations in the equipment affected the phase stability, limiting the duration of the signal to around 100 seconds. This hurdle will also be the focus of future improvements. We might not need to wait long, though. The researchers are already making headway on upgrades for their system. Dix Matthews said, "We have started using a high-power laser amplifier that should help us deal with the larger power losses expected over longer distances, such as distances to space." Dix Matthews noted, "We have also completely rebuilt our active terminal to make it more sensitive to low received powers and make it more effective at cancelling out the movement of the received beam." With orbiting technology rapidly becoming a major focus for many data providers, potentially filling our skies with satellites, innovations that make linking communication systems across our atmosphere will only become more sought after. As useful as our atmosphere is for keeping us all alive, there are certainly some downsides to being buried under a restless blanket of warm gas.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
The first type of right that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam speaks about in his treatise is the right of God, the right of Allah, Haqqullah.
For Humanity, a commentary on Risalatul Huquq of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam.
By Hujjatul Islam, Zaid As-Salam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, and welcome to IRIB English Radio and another program of For Humanity, where we are discussing Imam As-Sajjad's Treatise of Rights. Imam Ali As-Sajjad is our fourth Imam. And in this Risalatul Huquq, he's spoken about a variety of things that really have a lot of practicality in our lives. The main notion, the main gist of all of these teachings is to make us understand the meaning of our conduct and our behavior, for us to be more alert and more aware of how we deal with ourselves and how we deal with others, even though we might be entitled to a particular haqq, but at the same time, we never forget the huquq and the rights of others. When we're talking about the topic of an adversary who has a claim against you, there are certain things. And on the case where you have a claim against somebody else, in this case, you need to remember that you always must avoid having a sharp tongue or screaming or shouting or further aggravating the situation between you and the person you are disputing with, because you will need to understand the meaning of the words that you are using. Some of them might be very, very harsh to use. Some of them might further distance you from the person that you have a dispute with. And in many cases, meanings of words that are become used at times of anger lead to a lot of disruption, could lead to even violence, because sharpness and violence or abuse in speech and in what you say and certain kind of extreme sentences that might be used at a time of anger could eliminate that capacity that you have in intellectual discussion or in rationalizing and reasoning. And this is why Imam Ali, peace be upon him, he advises us to take attention to and be as diligent as we can at times of when we are presenting an argument or a rationale for something. And that's why we always need to remember that we forgive and we also forget, that we think in our arguments and we keep ourselves away from corrupt matters and from dangerous words and from abuse and from rumors and all of these things. Or else, if we do get angry, if we do rush into an argument, then there are going to be times where we slip in our words. And as a result, things we will have faults and things will become worse and worse and worse. We're just going to go for a short break and we will be back very soon.
Oh.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners, and we're still talking about this segment where Imam As-Sajjad, peace be upon him, says, أَجْمَلْتَ فِي مَقُولَتِهِ بِمَخْرَجِ الدَّعْوَةِ. You are using the best of words, you are using pleasant words in order to get out of the dispute. Here Imam As-Sajjad, peace be upon him, insists that when you are acting in a hard and very critical way, naturally, your opponent will also want to escalate the situation as well, being someone who wants to defend themselves, which is going to lead to more and more conflict. And in this case, the argument that you have, which is your right, which you are entitled to, will get lost in all of this dispute. Therefore, if this dispute is drawn to the court and you cannot rule over that person because, for example, the verdict has been mentioned in their favor, then leave it as it is and do not further allow yourself to go into darkness by wanting to abuse that person or anything else. Because when a person is involved in something like a conflict or aggressive behavior or violence, then they lose their haqq. Let's say, for example, someone has wronged you and you would like to confront them and you say things that were harsh, then they reply back and then you retaliate. Something that could have been easily solved should you have used a calmer, more subtle method is now lost because you have retaliated and your retaliation was worse than the very initial problem that ignited this dispute, and therefore your haqq is going to be lost. And so this is very, very important for us to always remember. Naturally, the courts cannot easily rule in favor of one person over the other unless there is evidence to be presented and put forward. And that's why Imam Ali, peace be upon him, he says that when it comes to the authority, then the authority is always going to stay stronger than the power, because power is something that does not last. It could be for today, but it could disappear tomorrow, whereas authority is always going to be there. Now, that being said, we can understand that the parties to the dispute might be powerful, they might have influence, and therefore when you are going to approach them and you're going to be using an aggressive approach, then they are going to naturally want to defend themselves, use their influences, and then they will destroy you. So therefore you're not going to get any kind of positive desired result. And this is why being intimidated by the other will lead to injustice and conflict and aggression and opposition and all of these other things. Never forget reason. Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam says, never forget the pleasant approach because it will always be effective. We're going to have to stop right here. If you wish to visit us on the website www.parstoday.com or you're able to email us through englishradio@irib.ir. Until our next program, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli wa sallim ala rasuli wa ali nabiyil azim. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala rasuli wa ali nabiyil azim.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. In the limelight.
Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani, the former president's personal lawyer, have been accused of conspiring to incite the violent riot at the U.S. Capitol in a legal action filed under a historic law known as the Ku Klux Klan Act. The lawsuit was brought on Tuesday, 16th of February, by the Democratic congressman Benny Thompson of Mississippi, and the eminent civil rights organization, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian columnist David Smith. The piece is titled, Trump and Giuliani Sued by Democratic Congressman Over Capitol Riot. Stay with us for more of David Smith's article. Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani, the former president's personal lawyer, have been accused of conspiring to incite the violent riot at the U.S. Capitol in a legal action filed under a historic law known as the Ku Klux Klan Act. The lawsuit was brought on Tuesday, 16th of